The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Gracious and glorious God, you have chosen us as your own, and by the powerful name of Christ, you protect us from evil. By your Spirit, transform us and your beloved world, that we may find our joy in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. I brought a book that I would like to read to you. Let me sit right here, Ian. Come on around this way. Because this book has a point. I always like to have a book with a point. You know what that means?
No.
It means more than just the story. It has more meaning than just the story. Can you read that?
I like myself.
I like myself. In Sunday school today, you're going to hear a story about the apostles choosing one more apostle to join their group. And they don't know for sure who to choose. So they ask the Holy Spirit, help us pick the right person to be a part of our group. We need one more person to be a part of our group. So they prayed and they chose one person. You know, we all get chosen for... Do you ever get chosen for something?
Yeah.
What did you get chosen for? In school? Oh, you helped pass out the art supplies at school. You got chosen for that. We get chosen for things. Sometimes we get chosen because we can do it really good. Like if you are on a sports team, and maybe you get chosen because you're a really fast runner, or maybe you get chosen because you're the tallest or the shortest, or that you can read colors really good. Choosing. I want to read this story. I like myself. I'm glad I'm me. There's no one else I'd rather be. I like my ears, my eyes, my nose. I like my fingers. I like my toes. I like me wild. I like me tame. I like me different. I like the same. I like me fast. I like me slow. I like me everywhere I go. I like me on the inside, too, for all I think and say and do. Inside, outside, upside down, from head to toe, and all around. I like it all, and all it's me. And me is all I want to be. Just wait. And I don't care in any way what someone else may think or say. I may be called a silly nut, or a crazy cuckoo bird. So what? I'm having too much fun, you see, for anything to bother me, even when I look a mess. I still don't like me any less, because nothing in this world, you know, can change what's deep inside. And so, no matter if they stop and stare, no person ever, anywhere, can make me feel that what they see is all there really is of me. I'd still like me with fleas or warts or with a silly snout that snorts or knobby knees or hippo hips or purple polka-dotted lips or beaver breath or stinky toes or horns protruding out my nose and yikes with spikes all down my spine, or hair that's like a porcupine. I still would be the same, you see. I like myself because I'm
me.
Do you know that when you were created, you're created in God's image? We all look like God, but we are specially made just the way that we are, that God made us just the way we are. And we have special gifts and special talents, and you'll hear about Matthias today. He had special gifts and talents and was chosen, but we chose you to be a part of God's family. You are part of God's family, and you are chosen and special. So let's go off to Sunday school. Chloe, carrying the Bible, please.
First reading from the book of Acts. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers. Together, the crowd numbered about 120 people, and said, "Friends, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit through David foretold concerning Judas, who became guide for those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share of this ministry." So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken from us. One of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection. So they proposed two: Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed and said, "God, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen. So take the place in this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray the first psalm responsively. Happy are those who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful.
Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on God's teaching day and night.
They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper. Therefore, the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes, nor the sinner in the counsel of the righteous.
For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall be destroyed.
Glory to the Father, and the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from 1 John. We receive human testimony. The testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he has testified to his Son. Those who believe in the Son of God have the testimony in their hearts. Those who do not believe in God have made him a liar, by not believing in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And this is the testimony: God gave us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son, a Son of God, does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks.
Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus prayed, "I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on the behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that Scripture might be fulfilled. And now I am coming to you. I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself so that they may be sanctified in truth. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, I usually keep object lessons for the children's sermon, but today I brought two things that I want to show to you. This is a prayer shawl that was sent to me by the church when I had my fall in Arizona a couple years ago. And this prayer shawl gave me such comfort to know that this church was praying for me, that this church family was remembering me in prayer when I couldn't be here. And I still today pull it over my shoulders when I'm praying for you, when I'm praying for my church family. I put this shawl that I have in my room across my shoulders. This is called a hand cross. And this belonged to my husband, to Don. And when he couldn't be out and about anymore, he would sit in his chair for hours and have this prayer cross, which just fits in your hand just perfectly. He had this prayer cross in his hand, in one hand. In the other hand, he held the church directory or his address book. And he would page through those two books, holding this prayer cross and praying for each person one by one. Every day he did that. It's so important. It's so powerful, I think, to know that somebody is praying for you. What a profound feeling to know that someone is holding you in prayer. Also profound to be the one who is holding others in prayer. You know, prayer is something, not just a spiritual discipline in our lives, and it's not just a routine part of our day. Prayer is love. Prayer is love. We take the time to name the hopes and the joys, the concerns and the fears, the points of gratitude in another person's life, and bring that all to the presence of God through prayer. And that is an act of love. It expresses your care and concern and your compassion for the one that you are praying for. And it expresses your trust that they are as important to God as they are important to you. In this gospel passage, Jesus prays for the disciples. But before I go any further, I think it's important to put this gospel into context. In our liturgical year, we are just coming to the end of the Easter season. Last Thursday, we celebrated, remembered the Feast of the Ascension. And next Sunday, the Festival of Pentecost, that great festival with the coming of the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised to send. But our gospel reading today takes us back to an earlier time in Jesus' life, before Pentecost, before Ascension, before Easter. In fact, the prayer that Jesus is praying, that John records for us here, is before the crucifixion on the night of his arrest. It's the night of Maundy Thursday. Jesus gathers his disciples around him for a final meal together. He washes their feet, setting an example to them for humility and service. He shares bread and wine with them and gives them the commandment to love one another. And he tries to prepare them for the time when he would leave them. In some ways, this was an impossible task. The apostles can't comprehend what's happening. They were probably so confused that they weren't even hearing the words that Jesus was speaking. And they're afraid. So to help, to calm, to comfort, Jesus promises to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit that will come and remind them of everything that Jesus had said. And then he does one more thing. He prays for them. One of the amazing things about this passage is that Jesus doesn't just pray for those disciples gathered around that table with him on that Maundy Thursday night, but he prays for us, for you and for me. That passage that we heard, did anyone else get confused by it? You know, trying to follow where he's going next. I'd like to outline that and see where he's going. John always writes like this. This prayer is called the High Priestly Prayer because it's so intense and deep. Hard. Some might even say it's convoluted theology. It's sometimes it sounds like this is a commandment. Jesus says, you know, be one, be unified, and or it's like a teaching, explaining the relationship between Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit, or about a promise that the disciples will be guarded and protected and sanctified. But at the heart of it all, this is none of those things. Not a commandment, not a promise, not a teaching. This is a prayer. It's a prayer of one person praying for others. It's a prayer of one person, Jesus, praying for those he loves, for the disciples, and for us. And that's important for us to hear. This is Jesus praying for us. Now, if we read all five chapters of this high priestly prayer, we only got like 10 verses here, that Jesus prayed at the Last Supper, we would hear the highs and the lows, the agony and the joys of Jesus' prayer. This was his prayer for his disciples. He knows their anxiety and their confusion. He knows they are afraid. And so he prays for them. He knows they're filled with concerns and worry. So he prays for them. He knows that he will soon leave them. So he prays for them. And as he does, whether or not they understood anything that he had to say, he tells them that they do not have to do or say anything, or even understand. He tells them that he is there to support them, that they are not alone, and that they are valued and loved and protected. This is a powerful moment. One of those amazing things about this gospel passage, I think, is that Jesus doesn't only pray for those disciples of the first century, but Jesus prays this prayer for us. Earlier in the prayer, Jesus says, And I ask this not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word. That includes us. That includes us who have come to believe through the words of the apostles, through the gospels, through the preaching, through the teaching. We are the latest in a long line of people who have been inspired and encouraged to believe the words and the deeds of those original disciples. So listen to what Jesus is praying for you, that they may be sanctified in the truth. That's Jesus' prayer, that we might be made holy, that we might be united, that we might be for the world, that we might have peace. So today is Mother's Day, and everyone wants Mother to be happy on Mother's Day. When I was growing up, we would, and you know I have two brothers and two sisters, and we would ask Mom, you know, what do you want for Mother's Day? Or what do you want for Christmas? Or what do you want for your birthday? And she always gave the same answer. I would like peace and quiet and happy children. I want my children to get along, she would say. Well, in our little family, I'm sure that we tried to give her peace and quiet. I'm sure that we tried to be happy children. I'm also pretty sure that we would have been more successful in our gift giving if she would have asked for a box of candy or a pair of slippers. We could have done that for sure. I'm not sure how good we were at the peace and quiet and children getting along part. This is like Jesus, too. He wants to give us peace. He wants us to be in unity. He wants us to feel at home with him and with the Father. And he prays for us to receive those things. How can we hear that prayer and receive the encouragement and the support that prayer can give to us? Think for a minute about your own life. Where do you need to find unity today? What needs to be made whole in your life? Where do you need to find more peace? And now imagine Jesus praying for you to have just those very things that you're thinking about. Is there one thing in your life that you would like Jesus to pray for, to care about? Well, here's the good news. That is the very thing that Jesus is praying for you today. Jesus does care for you. He wants you to be at peace, to be made whole, to find unity, peace and quiet. Jesus is praying for you and for all of those for whom you lift up in prayer. Jesus is praying for you, and all you need to do is say, Amen.